Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
See that DeAndre Hopkins is a torn MCL, but is going to be listed as questionable anyway?
Yeah, I did catch that over the last couple days or so.
I didn't know that. Doesn't sound good.
No. Trying to play through an MCL tear seems challenging. Yeah.
At his advanced age.
Yeah, what is he, like 29?
Ish, 30, probably older than Diggs, right?
Yeah.
31?
Just kidding. Advanced age.
That's what I was kidding, too. I mean, that's. Yeah. I'd take it.
Right.
Welcome back. Football Friday on WGR. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Sal Capaccio to set up Bills-Cardinals on Sunday. You know, whether or not we've already sufficiently done that can be debated, but we're going to do it again if we have. 1 o'clock Sunday, Arizona at Buffalo. The Bills, a 6.5-point favorite. Sal, you follow the lines, I know. I mean, that's been about where we've been all summer. The lines come out so early. There was a time there when it got down to 5.5, and there's been, as we've talked about a lot, some buzz about the Cardinals, but now it's gone back the other way. Does the number sound about right?
Yeah, for me it does. I think it's about right. There's, you know, 6 is still a lot in the NFL. So, you know, it's a pretty big spread comparably, I guess. But this is still a team that, to me, the Bills are better. You have a Cardinals team that won 4 games last year coming to Buffalo, home opener for the Bills, West Coast team coming east. A lot of the times the trends aren't very good there. Now, I will say week 1, you don't know. It's not like they've been in a routine here, playing every Sunday out in Arizona and then all of a sudden coming to Buffalo. But it still does matter, I guess, as far as that's concerned. But, yeah, I think that feels about the right kind of spread. Not saying it, you know, it's a definite, you know, cover for the Bills in any respect, but if you would have asked me what I thought it would be, I would say that's about it.
Well, what are going to be the keys here? I mean, it's easy sometimes for any game, you know, talk about not, you know, turning the ball over, things like that, but as much time as we spent for months here going over the Bills offense, is there a certain way to play that you like for them?
For the Bills here, I'm sorry. For the Bills or the Cardinals? Yeah.
For the Bills.
For the Bills, sorry. I don't know if there's a certain way to play other than, you know, limiting the big play if you want to talk about defensively. I think offensively, just do what you do. Let Josh Allen be Josh Allen, right? I mean, that means that, you know, you have to have him, you know, throw 40 times or he's got to have a few runs in there. I just think Josh is the best player in the field. Make sure he has the ball in his hands. Make sure that he's doing some things you know, that Josh Allen does. So to me, that's the way to play it. I don't think you have to be necessarily super conservative, keep their offense off the field or anything like that, but they do have some dynamic weapons. I think on the other side of the ball, you just have to watch out for the big play. Make sure they earn everything they get down the field, because I think the Cardinals are a team that can bite you. Kyler Murray can make some big plays. They have some playmakers on that side of the ball. So I think that's the formula for the Cardinals, having a few big plays here or there. Maybe, you know, obviously a couple turnovers, something like that would help. But I think for the Bills, let Josh Allen be Josh Allen. you know, do what you do, I think that you'll be able to move the ball and have success against this defense. I think that there are opportunities to score against this defense.
I was listening to Greg Cosell, great analyst, on with Chris and Steve on One Bills Live on my way in today. It's a regular 2 o'clock on Friday thing for them during football season. And listening to Cosell talk about Murray and how he can hurt you. And it's really, moving around and extending plays and sort of out of structure, right? And so I wonder if attacking him is, like, if there's an emphasis for the Bills on staying, this usually is the case when you're playing a guy who has the ability to get out and really hurt you. If he gets out of the pocket and even just, you know, starts running downfield, he can hurt you. Like, just rush lane discipline and just trying to, you know, sort of keep him in a cocoon, because from the pocket, that is not his strong suit. I mean, he's still only 5'10".
Right.
So if I can keep him in there, even if he holds the ball for 3.5-4 seconds, I think maybe that's where I want to be, as opposed to giving him opportunities to sort of break out, like make an edge guy miss and start rolling to his right and looking for Marvin Harrison Jr. 25 yards downfield.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, he does have a very high completion percent in his career as well. He's over 66%. I mean, that's nice. He's never had him. Looking at his stats now, he, even his rookie year, 64, 67, 69, 66, 65, you know where you're going to get from him. But you're right. It just seems like that's the better way to do it, to force him to stay in the pocket, make him be a quarterback. What people say about Tyrod Taylor, he's a good quarterback, but he's not a guy, to me, that's going to necessarily win a game consistently from the pocket. He's got to have that other part of his game. He's got to have that element along with it, you know, to go along with it, to have that threat. Keeps plays alive. It's not necessarily even running for, you know, major rushing yards, which he can do. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's done that in his career. But even keeping plays alive, extending plays, I think that's, you know, where they'd like Kyler Murray to kind of live if you're the Arizona Cardinals.
I had some stats earlier on the heels of Baltimore's performance and Lamar Jackson, I guess what's fair, taking his time getting going in this game last night. And that's nothing new for Jackson. And Allen has had somewhat of the same relative slow start to his seasons. That's the Jet game last year, Pittsburgh. I don't want to cherry pick. I just want to try to maybe use them both in this point. I saw from Warren Sharp these stats on Jackson, Sal, and he's like, his opinion, he should definitely see preseason time next year. Now that's, you know, easier to say after week one happens, right? Like, we might be saying that if Allen struggles in this game on Monday, like, all right, well, maybe it's time to get him out on the field, at least more often. He played a little in the preseason. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, I know you've said many times, if it were up to you, he wouldn't play at all in the preseason, and he barely did. So it's close enough to that. But, you know, hopefully he gets off to a good start. Is that harder to do in your mind when you haven't had game reps?
It is harder to do for me, but I think that you can do some things to help out, simulate. You know, I'm guessing the Bills did a little bit more at practice over the last few weeks. And actually, I will tell you that when we went back, you know, after the last preseason game, they had a couple pretty longer practices, actually. Like, I mean, like, no, longer than I even anticipated, like, we would be out there. And we were still able to watch a little bit. They went, to me, that was maybe an indication of, hey, we didn't necessarily get all of the time we wanted with these guys, so we want to get them a few extra reps out here. So I think the Bills kind of try to do what they could to give them more in practice to kind of make up for what they might have lacked in the preseason games. So, yes, I do think that you need those reps to – if without them, there's a danger of starting slower, because things do go faster in a game. It's one thing to have chemistry with your new receivers at practice, even when you're going full speed. It's a completely another deal to have chemistry with your wide receivers who are all new when you're going at a game speed in a real game situation and, you know, facing against guys who are actually going to tackle the quarterback and sack the quarterback, and there's real hitting going on. So I do think there's a danger of that, but I think the Bills understood, even when, you know, Sean McDermott, after the Pittsburgh game and going into the Carolina game, he knew where he was with his team and what he wanted to get accomplished. And I'm sure that they structured their practice schedule to kind of reflect getting maybe a little bit of that extra work in.
Yeah, I like thinking about this. We talked a little bit earlier about it, this point about starting slow. And you do have that coupled with, a very new group of receivers, if not an entirely new offense, right? I mean, at least a new coordinator full-time on the job, so we don't know really what that's going to look like. And I wonder, Sal, if that could lead them sort of easing into the game a little bit. You started off with, you know, let Josh do what Josh does. I wonder if you want to sort of go a little slow, maybe a little more run-heavy, just because... Like, I wonder if they really, like, how confident Brady, McDermott, the entire coaching staff is in what they actually have and how it will all work. Because so much of it is new that it's hard, you know, from this distance anyway, to not just throw, well, it's unknown, so maybe, you know, take it a little slow.
Yeah, I've thought about that too. Like, do you come out of the gate and say, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of the way this thing starts, which is, let's get some runs going here, but let's also get some real easy pitches and catches,
mm-hmm.
right? Just get Josh into the flow of things. I mean, that happens during the regular season, too, when you have been. Like, that happened last year. They would have a couple short passes, you know, kind of get Josh going, get Stephon Diggs involved in the game early. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that, just because you want to make sure that these guys are kind of feeling like they're dialed in with each other, giving some confidence that, okay, here we go. It's the first time we've kind of been together in a real game situation. Run to the fire hydrant, turn around, I'll hit you, make it really fast and really simple, and then, you know, we'll kind of get the ball down the field that way. The run game, you know, that's something that I think that this team is going to lean on, but it's not necessarily going to be a, oh my God, run-heavy team, but I think they want to be able to run the ball and be able to, you know, do it different ways with James Cook, with Ray Davis, even Curtis Samuel, you know, in a different element. So I think we'll see probably early in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Lean on the run game, short passes, make sure Josh gets into a rhythm, you know, figure out what they're trying to do against you. That's another thing. You know, if you can do that, that gives you a little extra time to figure out what the defense, their game plan is, what they're trying to do against you, especially against an opponent you haven't seen much of, you don't really, aren't super familiar with, even though you might be expecting something, maybe they're, you know, coming out with something that is a little bit new to you.
How much of a workload do you think for Davis, you know, game script not withstanding, of course, if the Bills are playing with a lead, he and Ty Johnson might play plenty. If not, what do you think the plan is?
I think Davis gets a pretty good workload this season, and maybe in a game like this, he gets a few more touches. Maybe that. Now, look, you're not playing this game with the necessary in mind of what's happening 5 days from now, from then, which is in Miami. But if you get to a point in this game where you can start to sneak in a few extra reps to give your guys a little break, I think you have to think about that a little bit. Their preparation, you know, leading up to this game, I'm sure has in mind what their next week looks like. And they're not thinking about, okay, we're going to, you know, use load management necessarily. The injury factor, we've talked about that with Bishop and Edwards, you know, that's a different deal. But I think as the game goes on, if you get some time during the second half where you can kind of sneak some reps in, that might be something you see in this game. Otherwise, I think Ray Davis is going to be a part of their team, their offense. Ty Johnson, too, though. You know, look, he's a veteran. I think he's trusted. Now, he didn't get a lot of work in the preseason because he had an injury. Remember the last preseason game, he returned a couple kicks. Guys, the big reason why they did that was to get the ball in his hands and give him a couple reps, actually. It's like a running play. It wasn't just to give him some kick returns. It's because he really hadn't played in the preseason. He had a little bit of an injury, and he wasn't going to play in that last game because he was dealing and overcoming an injury. So, you know, I wonder how that shakes out with him as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ray Davis has, you know, I'm not going to say a huge role in this game, but someone that at the end of the day, we look back on it, and maybe he touched the ball 9-10 times.
Does the depth chart tell you who's going to be the first guy in when Cook needs a blow? Because Johnson is listed ahead of Davis on the depth chart. Like, is that a clue, or is that not that important?
Well, the depth chart was right when DeMar Hamlin was listed as the starter, and we wondered if that was going to be the case. I don't think it does in this case, Bulldog, because I think that's situational. Let's just say they get down to into the red zone, and, you know, after a couple plays, and James Cook comes out, maybe that's Ray Davis time, right? Let's say it's a 3rd and 6, and James Cook comes out. You want Ty Johnson in for pass protection. I think that could be situational.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I'll be finding out with you guys. Like, it'll probably tell us. Look, I mean, we all know that traditionally, you know, Sean McDermott, yet there are, people say, oh, he doesn't play rookies. Yes, he does. But sometimes it's about trust, right? Sometimes it takes a little longer because you want to make sure that in every situation you could trust that player to be on the field. So we'll see. Does that right away, Ray Davis, is he out there? Or is it situational as the season goes on, he gets a little bit more work? They see him in some different situations. Even Dalton Kincaid wasn't on the field a whole ton to begin the season last year. So I don't really know the answer to your question, you know, outright. I'm going to be wondering as well.
What about Hamlin, Sal? So only 17 snaps on defense all of last regular season. Of course, Hyde and Poyer, different team. Now you've got these openings at safety. He ends up being named a starter in week one. He's also started 13 games the prior year before he went down in Cincinnati. How well equipped is Hamlin for this? How good a call is this?
Well, it's going to be pretty debated. It's been pretty debated, I should say, amongst Bills fans. A lot of Bills fans are very weary of this. And because of big plays they've seen him give up, because of watching Hyde and Poyer in the drop-off when they've gone to almost anybody, let alone DeMar Hamlin. So it's not necessarily just him, but there's been a standard and level of play that we've seen at the safety position. And when those guys haven't played, it's been different. And in this situation, DeMar Hamlin, a four-year veteran who understands this defense, knows exactly what is supposed to be done, how the communication works with Taylor Rapp. He made a really good point when he was at the podium the other day. He spoke to us down at One Bills Drive, and he said, you know, him and Taylor, actually, because they were with the twos a lot last year, and Taylor was a backup, and he was a backup, they got a lot of time on task together. And I thought that was a really good point. It wasn't like, you know, it's not like these two guys haven't been working together a lot. They have been. Even going to last year, they were actually the safety tandem a lot of times in practice together. So I think a lot of that matters here. Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards, as you know, have been dealing with things. Now, today, I had Sean McDermott on for his weekly radio appearance on the Extra Point Show. And I specifically asked him, with all due respect to DeMar, you know, earning the job, how much of this is basically maybe those guys getting up to speed. And he did mention that. I forget the wording he used. You guys can, you know, maybe Zach can go find it. But his answer led you to believe it's definitely something they think about, which is the injuries and coming back. And, oh, yeah, it was self-preservation. It was, you know, protecting them. So, like I've said to you guys, I think the Bills have to have in mind they have a division game in 5 days. So when you talk about DeMar Hamlin starting, I think it's all part of the big picture, that everything that they have to think about here.
Sal, unless Bulldog has another question about this game, I'm curious to hear you talk about last night and just what your takeaways might have been. Great game. Baltimore inches away from a potential tying or even setting up a winning score if they had gone for two there at the end. But Kansas City, as usual, wins a close one against another top team. What else might you take away from that game?
Well, first thing I'll take away is the fact that I probably drafted Mark Andrews way too early in my fantasy draft this year. Because
don't give up yet.
Yeah, okay. I hope not, because that looks like the Isaiah Likely show. And I loved Isaiah Likely 2 years ago, and I should have stayed hot on him, because it looks like he's going to be a big part of their offense. I mean, it was a really fantastic game. It just was. And at the end, yes, Lamar missed a couple plays. I don't think there were easy plays in those situations. It looked like just a bit of a miscommunication there. I know Bulldog brought up the fact earlier that it wasn't even Zay Flowers he said he was trying to hit.
Right.
And on that last play, which is interesting. But, you know, if Zay sits down, maybe he still hits him anyway because
right,
he's there.
Right.
But he's moving one way and Lamar's looking. And, you know, those are tough plays. Everything's compact down there, no doubt about it. Likely it made one heck of a catch. Incredible way to end the game, obviously. I knew right away, as soon as they scored, or we thought they scored, I knew John Harbaugh was going to go for two. That's what he does. It's John Harbaugh. I'm like, he's going to go for two. And sure enough, you see him holding up the two fingers. It's a great way to start the season. I watched a lot of the game, but I'm going to tell you guys, I definitely watched more of the tennis match than I did the game last night.
Yeah. Okay. You got me back to the tennis match, so I owe you because, like, or, you know, it started and I saw on Twitter, and I even checked my ESPN app, and it was, you know, she was getting blown out in that first set and then even down 2-0 in the second, and it was a tweet from you that, like, alerted me, like, oh, you know, it's into a third set and she's really running with it. So I was able to, you know, open up a second screen and get with it and really really enjoyed getting there. So thank you.
I mean, that was some fantastic tennis last night. They were both just battling and making shots. It was fun to watch. It really was. It was incredible. So yeah, and by the way, real quick, I'm thinking about the game. The other takeaway is I just don't think it was, I never thought it was the smartest idea in the world anyway, but I don't know what Derrick Henry's really going to do for the Ravens other than have a big name running back who you can turn to and hand the ball off. Okay, great. I mean, okay. That's not how you really win in 2024 in the NFL.
Right. Well, I mentioned earlier, like, that there's the game on the line, and where's he? He's on the, you know, he's standing on the sidelines.
Because, right.
Like, you know, I know that he's not the guy you're going to have in the game when you're, you know, in pass mode and trying to come back, but. You know, that sort of, I think, encapsulates what you just said. I was having this conversation with my son Owen last night watching the game. He was like, man, Derrick Henry. I'm like, they've run the ball like crazy forever. So, like, how much better? Like, yeah, he's great, but I don't know. Like, is it going to move the meter, really?
I mean, Baltimore last year, 4 years, is just almost always ahead. And he's the guy you want, just like he was for Tennessee, if he's still good, that you want when you're ahead. And, you know, that's a great defense, and they were down in this game. So they'll play the Raiders next week. I bet we see a lot more of Derrick Henry. And Sal, I guess, like, Andrews was doubled constantly. It's 12 personnel. Like, he's good. I'm not worried about it. Likely should probably be more relevant than we probably all thought off that game. But I'm expecting Andrews. They're just not long enough at receiver. You know, Zay Flowers, I think, is good, but it's all at the line of scrimmage. Everything's short. And then you have Bateman, who's just never really emerged yet. Couple of good plays, the one late.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, it's going to be both tight ends. And Andrews has proven he can do it. So don't go shopping him. I'll put it that way.
Well, I'll tell you, regardless of which team you're a fan of, if I'm a fan of either team, I'm coming out of last night maybe with a little concern about the offensive line. Last night it seemed like that a few too many times, you know, Patrick Mahomes had bodies around him and a little bit under pressure. And then, you know, I think we saw that as well for the Ravens. I mean, Lamar can get out of anything, obviously, but, you know, the run game, the blocking, they lost, what, 3 out of 5 starters last year from their offensive line. So,
right, that poor
yeah,
kid.
Who was
the right guard they put in, or the right tackle they put in, like a rookie pretty early in the game? Like, his first rep against Chris Jones was just
I
mean, I know Chris Jones is elite, but, like, the dude, he went to punch at Jones. Like,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better.
The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Missed them completely, and it was just like chasing him the whole play. It was just so bad.
Was that Rosengarten?
Yes, that's the name. Oh, yes. That was tough.
For the night that was, for Jackson to get sacked once is amazing.
Right.
How about the kickoffs, guys? Like, so Kansas City really didn't bother. This was Bulldogs' prediction for the kickoffs. Just like, we'll get to the regular season. You can start at the 30. It's fine.
Right.
Tucker put it in the landing zone twice. And both, I think, were returned past the 30. At least one was.
I know one was for sure, yeah.
So is that a sign of things to come here?
Yeah, I think what Bulldogs probably been preaching here for a few months might be kind of trending that way. Maybe teams are just like, hey, I don't want to get burned here. I'll give you the ball at the 30-yard line. Okay, let's rock and roll. I could see that happening. On that note, I mean, are we? What do we think about Justin Tucker these days? He missed another field goal.
53, but yeah, that's true. What is he out of? Is he in a slump going back to last year? I don't even know.
I think he's been like really not good percentage wise beyond 50 lately.
Really?
Like over last, I understand it's beyond 50, but like he has a huge strong leg.
Last year, no 1 for 5.
That. Yeah.
1 for 5.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's 35 years old. People are talking.
He needs more leg day. Yeah.
Sal, great job on the history of ties.
If you're a kicker, everyone's leg day. Every day's leg day.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I knew I could find it somehow. Bills are like one of 8 or 9 teams that have never had a tie. Before I get off this segment, I think we should touch on real quick. You guys saw, I'm sure, but I know you were on the air. Spencer Brown has been locked up for the next 4 years for the Buffalo Bills, a contract extension for the right tackle. I'm a bit surprised, actually. Not surprised now after it was kind of some rumblings were coming out last week, but really this offseason, I kept feeling, man, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep Spencer Brown and what kind of money he's going to want, because I think he's going to make some nice money on the open market after Jeremy Fowler's piece that said, you know, he was regarded by some executives as, hey, a guy that got votes in that, you know, that anonymous poll about the best in the league, and, you know, he's a guy that a lot of people look up to, and the way that the Bills have handled Ryan Vandermark and how much they like him, that he's kind of waiting in the wings. But here we go. Spencer Brown locked up. You know, it's a 4-year extension, so he's locked up for the next 5 years. The Bills have their two tackles, Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown, now for the foreseeable future.
And we still haven't seen money on that? That seems a little odd.
I have not yet seen any money on that. I wonder what that's going to look like.
$80,000 a year, I'm seeing. Unofficial reports, sources. Sal, thanks for remembering to mention that. We definitely needed to mix that into the segment. Spencer Brown. And we will talk to you Monday. Enjoy the game.
All right, you guys got it. Thank you.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I should have said next week, because we don't always talk to Sal on Mondays. Normally, we don't talk to him on Tuesdays either, because that's the Bills off day, but it will not be.
Yeah, next week. Kind of messed up.
Next week's different. We will have Eric Wood back on Mondays this year, starting next week at 4 o'clock Monday. 803-0550 for your calls. Thoughts on Bills Cardinals. Last call for the next last call. Maybe the last call for, you know, predictions for this season. We'll have picks at 6. It's all back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
It's one thing to get drafted. It's another thing to get to a second contract. A lot of stepping stones and learning you have to go through that, especially in younger years. And then just doing the same thing day in, day out, and hopefully it pays off and you're doing the right things. And then being in the front office, showing belief in me that I was doing the right things. And I told Bean I went from proving everybody wrong, and now I got to start proving everybody right. So I look forward to that.
Spencer Brown, we've lifted that from Josh Reed's Twitter right there. Bills offensive tackle getting a contract extension today. I'm reading Jason Kelsey on some of the offensive line penalties or non-penalties from last night, and I think I'm totally with him. He says the calls that were made early in the game, illegal formation, 3 times on Baltimore on that first drive. They still scored a touchdown on the drive. It's one reason I'm not a fan, or I could just start with that. I'm not a fan of the points of emphasis refs have to start seasons. It often leads to officials looking to make calls, and a lot of borderline or bad calls end up happening as a result. Yeah, that's very logical. That if you are setting out to curtail a certain thing. Remember Kadarius Toney last year against the Bills, that play where he lined up offside as a receiver and a Chiefs touchdown was called back. Then the next week, or from then on, there were like suddenly a series of offensive offside calls. The league is telling you, we do call that actually. Right. That wasn't the only time ever that we do call that. So now they don't want offensive tackles to be an inch past whatever it is. Like it's your helmet that they want up.
Your helmet's got to be lined up with the center's belt line or something, I think I keep hearing. And the funny thing about this, I don't know exactly what screen grabs I'm seeing, but I think on at least one of the penalties that it's Ronnie Stanley, right, is the player who was called for these infractions. It's more like his stance looks like he's not in the right spot, but his feet were actually on the same line as the guard next to him. It's like, it looks like he's way off, and that's why the penalty, the flag gets thrown. He stands like maybe a little more upright, or I don't know exactly
what
it is.
That's what I'm looking at exactly.
Yeah, and the picture I saw, his feet look to be, I don't know if the angle could be skewing that on me or what, but he doesn't look like he's lined up wrong at all to me if you go by his feet, and that's what should matter the most. Like whatever angle your body is at, like where your feet are, I think
should, I agree with that,
should matter the most. Like, so I don't know, the whole thing is a little shady to me. I don't know what's going on there.
The league decided this was a big area. They don't want offensive linemen basically cheating, so Sean Hockley decides, or his staff, it's not a referee's call exactly, to just pound the Ravens with this penalty on the first drive. And, if the Ravens, I don't know what exactly was said in advance of the game, but if they're like, really, you're going to do this to us? That I would have a complaint too. I would not appreciate that either. Like, give me notice. And Harbaugh was, a couple of times you caught him saying, what about them?
Right.
And, that's another one, because it doesn't have to be that the Chiefs guys are lined up wrong just because they're calling this on you. Keep it even. Well, maybe it shouldn't be even, but still, it seemed a little bit much. Kind of a ticky-tack thing that does nothing really to the game, but it becomes a ref show at that point. 803-0550, we have open lines for the rest of this hour. Would never during the pick segment. I mean, that's just too,
No, we can't. We don't have room.
It'd be sacrilegious. We cannot.
That is a self-contained entity.
That's right. That's right. I've got a couple of other good notes for you. Remember from Evan Abrams?
Okay, sure.
So I've changed my Survivor pool pick 4 times, and it's not even the weekend yet.
This is you or Evan?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah, like I thought Miami, like, no, that's a little bit too close. Then I thought Seattle, but maybe that would be too popular of a pick. Then I went to New Orleans, and I actually turned on BetQL Daily with Joe Ostrowski this morning, as he and his co-host, who is going to be on our show Fridays, by the way, throughout the season, starting next week, were talking about the Saints. And I had just changed my pick to the Saints, and I was thinking of Joe because it's his pool. Turn on his show, they're on the Saints. And I guess their producer had just, I had great timing. Their producer had announced he was picking the Saints. And Joe was just absolutely devastated by this. He just
atomic elbowing his producer.
He just couldn't even deal with it. And then I saw from Evan Abrams, Dennis Allen's career record as a head coach, 24-46.
Yeah.
Somehow he gets to keep doing it. He's the pretty heavy favorite to be the first coach fired.
Yeah.
New Orleans. So I'm off the Saints now. And I just put it at Bengals as a placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals line is 7.5. We were talking with Joe about survivor strategy and how Cincinnati was clearly the number one. They're not anymore. That's 1 point more than the Bills line.
Right.
Because of Chase and Higgins. Chase is questionable. Whatever it's going to look like, who knows? He's not injured.
He even said if he plays, he's going to be probably on a pitch count, like somewhat limited.
Right.
So, and then Higgins is doubtful, and like that doesn't sound like good at all.
He has another hamstring problem. Adam Schefter, I read today from somebody, had said on a fantasy show earlier in the offseason that he would not pick Higgins because he was worried about what it could look like if he doesn't really want to play.
Right.
And yeah. I don't know.
I also have a hamstring injury. You know what my hamstring injury is? My team won't take care of me. That's my hamstring injury.
Well, you've been very pro-Chase in his efforts, under contract, sitting out. Would you say the same for Higgins?
Higgins is a little different. Like, to me, there was almost no way they were ever going to pay both of those guys the big money. The Dolphins have chosen to do it, right? Waddle is not at the level Hill is at, but it's close. And then they doubled down. I thought they would never do this after Waddle, and they redid Hill's deal. So they've got those two guys. Like, that's their fastball, and they're just leaning into it. I'd never expected the Bengals of all franchises. Really, I wouldn't expect very many franchises at all to do this. The 49ers did it too, right? They're paying Samuel a big, not market rate, but a big deal, and they just got Ayuk done. So I don't know, maybe it's changing, but I always thought Higgins was in a very tough spot. Or the Bengals were in a tough spot with Higgins. Chase is clearly the better player. He's clearly the guy you're going to pay. Like, unless you want to settle for Higgins at a lower rate and make him your number one, but I never thought that was realistic. So you're going to pay Chase. You're going to prioritize that, and that leaves Higgins, the timing of his contract coming up, in a weird spot. And so I'm more forgivable to the organization for how they've handled Higgins. It's just, you know, the timing's bad. You got a guy that outranks you that isn't up yet. It's actually, he's a year or two even behind Higgins. A year, right? Because Higgins is a second round pick going into year four, so he doesn't have a fifth year option. Chase still has that coming if he needs it, if they get there. So I feel like the team's a little stuck there. We're trying to win, right? We got a Super Bowl window. Trading Higgins for draft picks probably, almost definitely doesn't help us right now. So you just hope peace can prevail there. So I wouldn't be as hard on them about Higgins and not giving him a market rate contract, because I don't think that was ever in the cards. It's a little like Drury and Briere. Got to choose one. Turned out they
soon.
They lost out. Sorry. So Chase, I think they're botching at this point. Who knows? Maybe within the hour they'll announce a contract extension with him and it'll all be settled. But Higgins has always been kind of the timing's weird for everyone involved, I think.
It comes down to that you like one player more. And everybody, right, not entirely, you said much more than that, but you like one player more. You think he has more to gain by holding out. And, you know, that's a key factor in that with
Chase. Yeah, I mean, I would sooner, everyone should get what they can when they can get it. I think in any sport, well, really any walk of life, but in pro sports especially, where it's pretty standard policy for guys to outperform contracts and then sit out, demand more, and the teams eventually just fold and give it to them. I feel like that is the case with Chase for sure. With Higgins, I don't know. I never felt like I wouldn't be critical of the Bengals for how they've handled Higgins. But, you know, for him, it's a tough spot because what do I do? I deserve to be paid. I'm this level of good. But, I don't know, you're in the wrong spot, man. Like, it's a tough, the circumstances are tough.
Cincinnati home to New England. We talked about the Saints going around the league in a dash, brought to you by Dash's Markets. Celebrating 100 years, shop the family of finer foods. One more. Washington will be starting Jaden Daniels at quarterback at Tampa. That's a late game on Sunday. This makes 7 years in a row, which I think ties a league record, for Washington to have a different starting quarterback in their opener. Can you name the other six?
Ooh.
I would have gotten all but one.
Well, let's see. Taylor Heinicke.
Nope. Never started
week
one.
Never started week one.
No.
All right, it was Howell last year, right?
Howell last year.
Well, I'm shook by Heinicke being wrong.
Fitzpatrick.
Sure, I'll recover.
That might have been Heinicke was on that team, but early in the season they played here. It was Heinicke. Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt.
He got hurt right away.
Week one.
Like a hip injury or something. Right
yes.
Away. Yeah. Yeah.
Before that, the late Dwayne Haskins in 2021. I'm going to skip 2020 because that's the one I never would have remembered. Okay. A former Bill.
Okay.
2019, Alex Smith. 2018, Kirk Cousins.
Let's go back to Cousins. Okay. Who? What was the year again?
2020.
Former Bill?
Yeah.
Like real former, not like Antonio Brown. You're not being cute here. Like it's a real former Bill.
I love being cute, and I take it as a compliment every time. But no, this guy played in the regular season.
Okay.
Still active.
Oh, man. Somehow that made it harder.
I never would have remembered him as this. He's just, no, journeyman's journeyman.
Kyle Allen?
Good guess. That's who I would have guessed too, but no. Case Keenum.
Oh, boy.
2 for 7 is a Bill.
I don't remember
2 years ago
being in Washington at all. Oh, yeah. All right.
Started 8 games in the 2020 season, yeah. Or 2019, I think I said, for Washington. Yeah, yeah. 803-0550 for your calls. Picks in 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday on WGR. One point on the Bills and last night's game. Wish we had more time today to spend on sort of comparing the Bills to those teams coming off of that game. I mean, it's almost kickoff for them, though, and we've talked about a lot of different things. But there's some Twitter today that, like, the Ravens are done. The offensive line in shambles, and I mean, I just did not. I can tend to be an apologist for the Ravens because I respect them and like them in so many ways. They had 100 more yards than the Chiefs. Like, you know, you go to that stadium on opening night. Okay, the Lions beat them. But and you're an inch away from a mm-hmm. touchdown to make it 27-26 with no time left. What? That's bad, you know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they won't be as good as last. It'll be very hard to be as good as last year. They had a pretty much a perfect trip. But I didn't come away from that game. Like Nick Costo says, how could you watch that game and think the Chiefs and the Ravens are on the same level? Man, they're a little better and they find these ways to win, but to me, that's not really a different level. It's a different something.
Yeah. I came away, like Jackson was electric and made great plays with his feet and, you know, enough with the arm. It's a little like Allen. Like I felt like it was really just him.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's realistically sustainable. You know, like I just, but like you said, I mean, different game, you know, get closer game, get in the lead, get the lead, and maybe you can lean on Henry and sort of lean into who you are. But it really felt like he was the only thing they had going. And you could come away from that going, okay, well, that's the MVP and he's great. And that will be sustainable because we've seen it. He's great. He rushes for 1,000 yards a year. Like he's amazing. But I could also just as easily get to what else is there really? Like, I don't know. I haven't gone in depth on the Henry idea there other than sort of agreeing with Sal, like, you're already great at running the ball, and so you go get this guy that's been great at running the ball. How much does that really move the meter for you or improve you? And so I think that might be a weird fit. And the way they talked about it on the broadcast last night was like, he's used to the quarterback being under center. Mm-hmm. Jackson likes to be in the shotgun. So there's maybe an uneasy marriage there stylistically that they're going to have to iron out. And it doesn't look like maybe they have yet. So that could be curious. But the line could be real, real trouble. I mean, he's so great getting out of there and extending plays and just and running that it doesn't have to sting you. But it looked like he was asked to do too much.
On the running back point, and I don't have to tell you I'm somebody that's not like going to tell you how important it is to have the better running back. Gus Edwards left. Keaton Mitchell was their guy for a minute last year. He looked dynamite. Multiple knee ligament tear. He won't be ready for still several weeks. So what are they supposed to do? I mean, Justice Hill is okay. He played a nice role last night. you didn't really have anything going there at that, losing Dobbins as well. So they had to bring in somebody, and they wanted Henry last year. It's hard for me to think that AFC championship game would have gone the same way, even with everything that's been said about, especially when it comes to Baltimore and shifting their offensive philosophy. It's hard for me to think that game goes the same way if Derrick Henry is not, if Derrick Henry is on the team. You know, they're within one score all day. Are they just not going to use him in that game and play the same way? That's kind of how they played with Edwards, and, you know, they didn't get there. So maybe, but yeah, I think he and Andrews are probably still fine. Fantasy-wise, I think they're probably still fine because they're almost always ahead. You go to Kansas City, you know, you might not be in the lead all night. And that isn't really that surprising. Picks after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.